Listening to sermons as we go about our days, driving around or doing our work, is a perfect reminder of our Lord's promises and of His mercies. This is the mission of Upper Room Media: to make the Word of God accessible to anybody and everybody.
In the name of the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit, one God, amen. Christ is risen. Christ is risen. Hope you're enjoying your weekend so far, enjoying the season of resurrection. So good to be with you in the church as usual. You know, we come to church, it's like refreshing. It's restoring something inside. Even when we hear the gospel, it feels like something is filling us inside. Anyways, this just hope you're enjoying your weekend. This past weekend and week, me and Dahlia have been trying to figure out how to solve this gardening problem in our house. I don't know if you guys have done that yet, because like it's like intimidating. You know, we only have a small piece of grass outside, and me and her can't figure out like how come there's like so much weeds and so much. You guys know what I'm talking about. Like for us, we didn't have to worry about this before, so it's like big trees of weeds. You ever had those trees that are weeds? Like someone had to point it out to me that that's not a tree, that's a weed. I said, oh, okay. So we had to remove this. Move this one, move that one. And it's just like intimidating to cut, you know, get the grass cut. And when you cut the grass after 2 days, guess what you have to do again? You have to cut the grass again. Do you guys know that? Or no one told me that. Like 2 days later, because of the rain, the grass is back up, the weeds are back out. It's, anyways, I'm not trying to bore you guys with what's happening in my life. But anyways, it seems like a waste of time. And you guys correct me. It seems like a waste of time to remove the weeds because they're coming right back. Right? It seems like. I'm not saying it is. It seems like a waste of time to take care of the garden. But I know it's not. And then I was thinking about this gospel today. And I'm thinking, I see how God wants to keep doing the same thing with us. What does He do with us? He removes our what? Our weeds. And what happens to the weeds? You know what the weeds are, right? Sin. And what happens to the weed right away? It comes back. And you're like, okay, it came back again. So what's the point? What's the point of keep asking God to remove my weeds, my sin, if it's going to keep coming back? You know, one day when you guys come over to my house, you're going to see a beautiful garden. I don't know when, but one day you're going to come and you're going to say, wow, that's nice, the flowers. Not yet, don't come yet. Okay, if you come, just don't keep your eyes closed. But one day, we're going to be a beautiful garden. And God's going to keep removing. And God's going to keep doing His work. Because I kept asking myself the question, why does God keep after us and keep trying with us? I'm like, God, aren't you tired of me confessing the same sin and doing the same mistake and doing and not trusting you, God? Aren't you tired? He said, no, I'm going to keep doing what I got to do to make you a beautiful garden. And that's kind of the point of today with the Samaritan woman, right? Because for me, I'm thinking, to be honest with you, I'm thinking it's a waste of time to do gardening. I really think it's a waste of time. I mean, I'm still trying to believe that it's not. And then I kept asking myself the question back with God, what do you want from us? What do you want from every one of us? Just to come to church, to attend, to hear the sermon, take communion, and go home? God, that can't be why you're removing the weeds. There's got to be a reason why you're doing this work in us. There's got to be a reason why God is after us. Do you ever think about that? You ever sit back and say, what's the point of my life? What do you want from me? Just to go to church? I can go to church. We can all go to church. We're all here at church. Is that it? If that's it, then I'm good. But I don't think that's it. And I was trying to figure out, what is it then? What is it that you want from all of us? And this is really, I'm not trying to do a sermon today. Actually, I'm just sharing personally today. I feel like, what do you want from us? And then we look carefully today at this beautiful story. And you see clearly why God changed the Samaritan woman's life. You see clearly the goal of what, like, God wasn't changing her for her only. Yes, He was going after her to remove the weeds, make her a beautiful garden. That's true. But there was more to the story, right? There's more to why God was going after the Samaritan woman. He was going after her for her and for her entire family and for the entire city. Isn't that crazy to think? Like, would you believe that God is coming to you to change you for your family and for your city that you live in or go to church in? I don't know. God came to this earth on a mission to save who? Jews, Gentiles, Samaritan woman, and you, and me. Last few weeks we said, God is on a mission to save Thomas. Why? Do you know what Thomas did after he doubted? You guys remember what I said a few weeks ago? Do you know what Thomas, the disciple, after the Thomas Sunday he doubted? You know what he did after he didn't doubt anymore? He went and became a great missionary all over the world. Samaritan woman, what did she do after she found God and drawn near to? She was a great missionary as well. And let's look at it carefully. If you don't believe me, let's open up today's gospel. Open up your Bibles to John chapter 4. I want you to see clearly. We missed this part in the story. John 4, 29. If you have your Bibles, please open them up. John 4, 29. And it's going to answer the question today, guys. It's going to answer a question for you. Why does God keep after me when I have so much weeds, so much problems, lack of faith, lack of humility, whatever? God, why? What do you want? I'm coming to church. I'm taking communion. I did my part. But that's not it. That's not it what God wants. And let's figure out what God wants here. And John 4, today's gospel, verse 29, after the Samaritan woman was converted, here's what happened next. John 4, 29, come. This is her speaking. Come, see a man who told me all things that I ever did. Could this be the Christ? Then they went out of the city and came to who? To him. She went to the city and said, hey guys, this is the real deal. I know you think I'm the worst woman in the whole city. That's what she's... She said, look, I know you know that I go from house to house. You know that I'm not a good lady. But I just met him. You guys better go see him. And she told everybody in the city about him, and they all went to him. They all went to him. The whole city was converted. Let's go down to verse 39, John 4, 39. You know what the result? You know what happened to the city? Look at this. And many of the Samaritans of that city believed in him because of the word of the woman who testified. He told me all that I ever did. Guys, this lady, you know her name. And as a saint, her name is Saint Fotini. Do you know what Fotini means? Fotini means enlightened one. The light came on up here and in here. And guess what? She brought light to everybody around. But what did she do? All she did was this. Guys, you want to know what you're supposed to be doing? You want to know what God wants you to do? Is exactly here. Just tell people what he did. That's it. Tell people around you what he did and what he's doing. That's it. I know it sounds simple and it sounds like something you're not going to do, but it sounds like something that we need to do, right? It's simple and it's something we need to do. She went, she met Jesus, just like we do. That's why we're here. I want to meet you. That's why we pray and read the Bible. We meet him. Now, after you meet him, what are you supposed to do? Close the Bible. Liturgy. We take a communion and hide and go home and just like live. No, no, no. You tell everybody what he did. You tell everybody what he's doing. This is exactly why God is removing the weeds in your life, in my life. This is why he's not giving up on you. I don't care what you say. I've done the worst thing. Doesn't matter. Samaritan woman has got you beat. She's got you beat on the number of sins she's ever committed. A lot of the saints, if you look at their history, they did more worse things than we've ever done. But God kept after them, and he removed the seeds, made them a beautiful garden, and all that they did was they told people what God is doing in their life. All she said was, come and see. Now, I know something is going through your mind right now. Abuna, this sermon is a nice one, but it's not for me. I know you're thinking that right now. You're thinking to yourself, I'm not going to tell anybody to come and see. This is my church, and I'm going to come to it, but that's it. Don't tell me to go and tell somebody to come and see. Don't tell me that. You're not going to say that to me or anybody else, but that's what you're thinking in your heart. But I want to tell you something, and I'm going to tell you from all my heart. On the Feast of Resurrection, do you remember that day, the feast we did in LCC? And I told this to some of you. I was really sad. I know it sounds weird. It's the Feast of Resurrection. But all of a sudden, something came over me. There's many people missing in this church. I don't know who they are. I'm not saying, oh, the people who come, stop coming. I'm not even saying that. Yes, that's true. But I really felt there's people missing from this church that God is waiting for us to invite them here. I know that sounds crazy. I don't know what it means. I'm not the one who says, oh, I heard God speak. I'm not that kind of person. Oh, I saw this cloud in the sky message. That's not me. But I know for sure that day, I'm telling the truth, I know that there's many, many people who belong here who are not here yet. And I don't know what we're supposed to do, except what today, say, come and see. If you love this church and you love God and you think this place is a good place, we're going to have to start doing that. I know it's uncomfortable, but we're going to have to tell people, hey, guys, got to come and check out this church. Everyone is family. We love each other. The messages are great. Church is great. Sunday school is great. Snacks are great, right? Everything is great. You got to come and see. That's what we need to start doing. In our own families, our communities, this city of Leesburg can't be hidden here in a cave. People should come and see. People at your work, people at your school. Why not? What's wrong if you invite them? Are they going to come and we're going to bite them? Are we going to beat them up? They're going to come see something amazing. They're going to come and see how amazing God is. Come and see. Now, if you don't believe that, I want you to turn to one of the epistles today in the Bible. We just read 1 John. Let's open together. 1 John chapter 3. If you don't believe that, 1 John chapter 3, verse 16. 1 John chapter 3. I know it's hard to open the Bible. It's tiring. But just try your best. Like just a couple buttons. 1 John chapter 3, verse 16. 1 John is the epistle, not the gospel. The epistle in the back, right at the end. 1 John chapter 3, 16. Listen to this. By this we know love. Because he laid down his life for us. Okay, we know that. What do we have to do now? We also ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. Okay? So God, you did that for me. You changed me. You took my weeds away. I need to help somebody else. Wait, we're not done yet. Let's go to verse 17, 18. But whoever has this world's goods. What's the world's goods? Everything we have outside here. Everything that we enjoy. If we have that. And sees his brother in need. And shuts up his heart from him, how does the love of God abide in him? Translation, if we have everything we have, and we close our heart to the people out in this community, does God really exist in my life? I don't know, I'm just reading here. Last verse, verse 18. My little children, let us not love in word or in tongue, but in deed and in truth. It's not talking anymore, guys. That's not our church. I feel this church is, we're not a mega church. We're not a church of 10,000. We're not a big Coptic church. We're a small one. You know why? Because we have a beautiful family church together. But why? Just to enjoy each other? Yes. To enjoy the snacks? Yes. But there's more. There's more people, and I don't know who they are. I don't even know their names. I don't know who they are. But I know you will meet them one day. In that moment, don't be scared. Tell them, come and see. Because we're not a church of talking. We're a church of action. That's what I know about you. That's what you know about me. That's what we are. We're a church that doesn't just say, you know, God loves you and, you know, God be with you. And no, we are a church that goes to the community. How many times have we gone to the community and done community service? We're not just doing that just to say, oh, I checked up. I feel good. I did community service. No, we're trying to do what God did to us. He laid down his life for us. He loves us. He's removing our weeds. We need to do that for other people. That's the kind of church we are. Let's go to the finish line here on what God wants to say. Back to the Gospel of John, not the epistle. Let's go back to one more verse and I'm done. John chapter 4, verse 34. John chapter 4, verse 34. The disciples came after this Samaritan woman thing and said, Jesus, did you eat? Are you hungry? What are you doing at the well here? Are you drinking the water? Who are you talking to that lady? What's going on here, Jesus? They were confused. They said, what's happening? You didn't eat yet. It's been a long day. You know what Jesus said to them? I love what he says to them. He confused them and he confuses all of us. Look at John 4, 34. When they asked him if you're hungry, he said, my food, you know this verse, my food is to do the will of him who sent me and to finish his work. And I don't know why, but those three words, finish his work, keep ringing in my mind. Finish his work. Who's supposed to finish his work in Leesburg and Loudoun? I don't know. Can you call somebody else? Can we ask another church to do it? Can we say, oh, that church down? No. Finish his work. That's us. We're going to keep going until we finish his work. That's our food. That's our desire. Why did God remove your weeds during Holy Week? Why did God make an impact on you in Holy Week? Why did God give you the Feast of Resurrection? Why did God change your life and is changing your life? I know it's a work in progress. Why is God working in you? Just say thank you. God, you're so sweet. Thank you for that. Changed my life. He changes your life. So you can be part of changing somebody else's life. You can't hide anymore. You know who the biggest, shyest introvert is in this church? It's probably me. But I had to do things that I didn't want to do. I didn't want to go to Africa. I didn't want to be a priest. I did it because I wanted to be obedient to God's work. I'm being honest with you. I didn't want any of those things. And even there, I'm like, this is like impossible. I just kept being obedient, and I kept doing it, and kept inviting people, because I know who God is. Like, I know how amazing God is, and I want people to know, hey, if this is a better way of life. Don't you? If you have something sweet and something special, don't you want to share it with people? Like, we have to. We can't be Christian introverts. We have to be Christian extroverts. We have to go out and say, come and see how beautiful, how amazing, how forgiving, how gracious God is. Now, if you say, I don't know those things about God, then you better start trying to see that for yourself, because when you taste something sweet, you got to give it to everybody around you. Come and see. But I want us to finish the work. I know the disciples finished their work. I know Saint Fotini, the Samaritan woman, finished her work. I know that there's people out there, I don't know who they are ready for us to do our work. I want you to join this mission. I want you to join the party. Welcome. I don't know who's in Northern Virginia that needs us. I don't know who's in Loudoun County that needs God. I don't know who's in Leesburg. But I can tell you something. I'm not going to stay quiet any longer. I can't. And I know you can't. And I'm not saying go on like a top of a car and start preaching repent. But I'm saying that people that you meet every day, it's time for us to tell them, come and see. You meet them every day. Now, by the way, they could be in your family. They could be a cousin, a son or a daughter. It could be a relative. It could be an uncle. I don't know. It could be in your family. Maybe somebody in your family has kind of been disconnected. Hey, come and see this beautiful family, this beautiful God. Maybe it's somebody at work. They said, there's no way. We can't talk about that. Invite them to something. By the way, guys, you know we have something in 2 weeks from now. It's called a barbecue or a kind of a field day, a fun day out in the park here. Isn't that a good time to invite them? It's in a couple weeks on Sunday. Maybe. Maybe come invite them to the well. Maybe not invite them to liturgy, but invite them to the well. Starts 11:30. Come and hear Father Anthony in this beautiful message and so-and-so. Right? Why not? Why not and say, come and see my priest, my church family, my whatever. Or invite them to your house. Build relationships with them. Maybe it doesn't start in the church. Maybe it starts in your home. Right? I don't know. What I'm saying is, it's time to figure out why God would remove the weeds of our life. Why God is saving us. He saved the Samaritan woman with all his wisdom so she can save the city. He saved Thomas so he can save India. He saved St. Mark so he can come to Egypt. And that's why we're all here. God has plans for his people, and we're one of them. That's all I want to say. And just like 1 John says, you can't just talk about it. You can't just say it. But we must do it. Let's go and finish his work. Guys, all I want you to do in liturgy today is one thing. Just one thing. Say, God, what is it you want me to do? And who is it that you want me to speak to? Who? And someone's going to come to your mind. Maybe not today, but somebody's going to pop in your face this week or next week or in 1 month. And you're going to say, I knew it. This is what the time that Buna was saying. This is the moment that God wants me to use it. Now, you can use it or you can be shy. Are you going to wait till you're 90 years old on your deathbed and say, I think I should tell people to come and see now at 90. Good luck. Good luck about that one. But I'm saying right now while we're young and we have energy and we have, let's tell people who it is that's working in our life. Now, that being said, liturgy, God, reveal to me, show me. He's not going to show you in the instant, but maybe somebody will pop in your head and say, I need to go to them. I have to be relentless. I have to be persevering. Don't be annoying. I'm not saying be obnoxious. But I need to love them, pray for them, go after them, encourage them. And I'm telling you, Leesburg is going to be in good hands. Your family is going to be in good hands. Northern Virginia is going to be in good hands. But let's just do our part. Let's finish his work. Let's pray for one another. Glory be to God forever. Amen.
This talk was brought to you by Upper Room Media. We hope that this talk has, through the grace of God, touched your heart, and we pray that it will not only inform you, but will also transform you and your life with Christ.